My name is Michael Gonzalez. I am 16 years old. Today is March 1st, and I am speaking with Richard Evers and Mary Evers, who is my grandparents. We are recording this interview over the phone as they're in Georgia. So, what are some of the things you remember about adapting to military life?
Well, I made a slow transition into military life, and that when I went to college, it was mandatory in 1956 that you take 2 years of ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 years of ROTC, I found out I was eligible to take two more years and get a commission and go to pilot training, which I desired to go to pilot training. So I transitioned to military life while I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stood by, and after I graduated from college, I had to wait 6 months because the Air Force changed their pilot training program. And then I went to Selma, Alabama, and went through 1 year of pilot training and became a pilot in the Air Force.
Oh, so you only needed 1 year to get your license? Mm-hmm.
And, but I only needed 1 year to earn my wings and become an Air Force pilot.
Okay. So how did you stay in touch with family and friends back home?
Usually by letters, and telephones then were a little expensive, but telephones and mainly letters.
Did you ever find any trouble in being able to communicate?
No. I was stateside. I did later on, as I started to travel, when we were overseas, it was very expensive to talk to somebody back in the States if I was in Europe or Turkey.
Mm-hmm. But you were able to...
most of it was through letters.
Okay.
The year he was in Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe how you felt coming home from combat?
Well, coming out of Vietnam, it really wasn't a war that we were winning or won. It was just we kind of stayed in it for about 15 years. So I went over and spent my 1 year. And then from there, I went to Europe. And in Europe, I got into fighter ops for a year. And then I transferred over and got into special operations and started flying low levels and making airdrops at night and whatnot, which was very challenging and very interesting. But the effort in Vietnam was kind of left unfinished.
Mm-hmm. So after your service, when you came home, was it a good experience, or were there troubles?
It was a good experience because I met people, did things, and expanded my capability and my knowledge of the Air Force, I guess. And then when I went overseas, I was able to apply that to my next job. And then when I settled down, going back into flying, I really liked flying over in Europe.
Mm-hmm. So then coming home, it would be a little bit of relief.
I didn't miss home. I
Excuse me?
What?
You didn't miss home?
No, you were with me.
Not in Vietnam. He's talking about when you came back from Thailand. When you came back from Thailand.
When I came back from Thailand, we went directly overseas. So we already made the transition. I met you in the West Coast, and we traveled to the East Coast and left. Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Can you share with me a story of how you guys met?
Yes. Well, we met in Langley Air Force Base. I was stationed there my first assignment, and Mary was back visiting her sister, and her brother-in-law was a major in the Air Force. So Mary and her mother were back visiting her sister, and I met her on a blind date, and we dated three or four times, and then we talked and dated, or communicated over the winter, and then the next summer we got married. We met one summer and got married the next.
We were actually together about 3 weeks.
So you guys, you said you communicated. Did that mean there was a distance?
Yeah, I was in Kansas teaching. And I was teaching in Kansas, and he was in Langley, Virginia. So,
and then I went to C-130 training during that time period.
So we actually were together about probably 10 dates or so. In the summer, I had to go back to Kansas to teach. And then he called. Our communication is mostly letters, but we would call long distance once in a while. And so he asked me to come back to meet his mother in Baltimore, his family. And so my mother was back in Virginia for Christmas. So I went to my sister's, and well, no, that's not true. I went from Kansas. I flew to Washington D.C. and got stuck in snow. They had a big storm. Make a long story short, Dick also was stuck over in the Azores. Right, Dick? No, you were in Andrews.
Got stuck up in Canada.
Yeah. So anyway.
We got out of there and came on down there.
Well, anyway, we went up to Christmas to Baltimore, met his mother and family, and then I went back. And in March, he came through and gave me a ring, and we got married in June. So we were probably together for about 3 weeks the whole time.
Wow. So did you guys have a honeymoon?
Yeah. We fought the Civil War.
We got married at Langley. We had a military wedding and dressed whites. And then for our honeymoon, we went to Virginia, and we went along the...
Our honeymoon, first night we stayed in Williamsburg.
But we went along the Appalachian Trail.
Oh, wow.
So we said we actually fought a war on our wedding day.
Okay. How about, what was the worst thing you remember my mother ever doing while she was a child?
It wasn't her fault, but we had her in the back of the car. In our little Volkswagen Bug, not a Bug,
Squareback,
and she was on a potty, and we were crossing the border going into Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a big red face.
Because she was what?
She was
sitting in the car. We had a potty chair under her. Back then, you had a potty chair. You could sit in the back.
We were crossing the border. She got red in the face as she
she had to poop. Right as we were crossing over, and that was the time frame. That was the same day that we crossed over that Kennedy, not President Kennedy, but his brother was killed.
Wow. So did that get you guys in trouble?
And they asked Dick for his gun,
And Bobby Kennedy was shot.
Uh-huh.
And the guy at the court at the gate says, "Where's your gun?" And I says, "I don't have a gun." He says, "Every American has a gun."
Wow.
So
did you guys get in trouble because of my mom's red face?
No.
No.
That's good.
Actually, to be honest, I just think hard about anything that I'll... She and Shelley were both pretty good kids, and Dad was gone a lot, so I guess I was kind of a hard disciplinarian, maybe, but anyway, I don't really remember her. I remember more things about Shelley
mm-hmm.
that we won't go into, but...
So she was well behaved most of the time. Okay. Can you tell me a story about any ancestor that you remember?
You want me to do it, Dad?
Yeah, you do it.
Okay, well, it would be your great grandmother was actually born in Oklahoma when it was still a territory. And they would have Indians come up and try to get water out of their outside, you know, their wells. And then if they had anything hanging outside, they would proceed to take them. And the standing joke was your peepaw told my mom, teasing her and saying that she couldn't be president because she was born in Oklahoma before it was a state, which was true.
Oh, wow.
Going back to your mother was born in Germany, and she has dual citizenship of Germany and the United States.
Yep.
At the time, we brought her back and had to get her naturalized. She's not a natural born citizen of the United States.
Yeah.
So we had to go through a naturalization process with her. That was what the old rules were.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've changed it now. Uh-huh. But anyway, Mary's mother kept saying, "I don't understand it." I said, "Well, Stephanie can't be president of the United States because he's a naturalized citizen and not natural, you know, born here."
Yeah. Yeah.
So, she used to get flustered at me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is there anything you wish civilians understood about any of your service?
I think the civilians mostly understand what the military members going through. What I think they don't understand is the things that we have to drag our family through.
Mm.
And, like, you have probably been to two or three schools since you've been going to school.
Yep.
And Stephanie and Shelley have probably been through six schools to get where you are.
Oh. And that's...
There's 2 years here, and then I pick up and go.
Mm-hmm.
And they follow, and they get enrolled in a new school. So there are friends, acquaintances, memories organizations that people join that the family of the military member who travels around kind of short circuits them. You know, so that's it's good and it's bad. It's good because it forces them to go out and make new friends and be outward going and whatnot. It's bad in that you don't have the old friendships and whatnot to fall back on.
So while you served, what phrase or word will you never, what phrase or word will never be the same?
I'm sorry, say that again.
So what phrase or word will never be the same now that you served?
I don't know. I think, your services, more and more, the military service is being appreciated. There were times under Clinton in the 90s, from the president on down, that the military was not respected. I think the one word is respect. I think the military is respected now. That's good.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't any phrase or anything that while you served that you heard a lot and that meaning changed for you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So when did you get interested in serving?
I was in ROTC, and going to college. Out of ROTC, I got into taking advanced ROTC and getting a commission, and then I got a commission, and I also went to pilot training. So, before I was really indoctrinated into the military and into a squadron and starting to serve and whatnot, I had the year of pilot training and whatnot, was a pilot, and my first assignment was Langley. And that's where I met Mom.
Yeah.
And we got married a year later and whatnot. I have to tell you, during the senior year, I went to a summer camp, and that's the closest thing to, I guess, training. And there was a funny thing happened. One guy had two pairs of shoes, black shoes. He kept one of them all shined up, and he set them out for inspection. And they would all inspect his shoes, and then he'd take them and he'd hit them up in the roof, and he'd get down his old shoes and put them back on and wear them. So he had a pair for show and he had a pair for go.
Oh.
And he got caught.
Oh, wow. So where did you serve during Vietnam?
I was stationed in Thailand. We ran all of the airlift for Thailand and some of it into Vietnam. And what people don't realize is how much Thailand was used as a base. Our fighters and reconnaissance aircraft and whatnot were all at bases in Thailand, not in Vietnam. So they take off out of Thailand and fly missions in Vietnam, North Vietnam, and Cambodia and whatnot, but they would come back to Thailand. So we provided a lot of the support in Thailand during that year.
So then after that, what was your career like? Did you have any jobs after serving?
Yeah, well, we went to Germany. Then I got into a special operation and got flying low levels, night low levels, and making airdrops and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got selected to go to the Pentagon and serve in research and development, developing a new transport. So I went up there for 3 or 4 years.
And what did you do there?
In the Pentagon. The Pentagon is the headquarters there in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I was in R&D. They later it became RDNA, research, development, and acquisition. And I was working on a new airlift airplane to replace the 130 and whatnot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you stayed with that until retirement?
I stayed with it. When I was up there, we had a source selection, and I went out and we built two prototypes, a YC-14 and YC-15. One was built by McDonnell Douglas. The other was built by Boeing. And I flew both of the prototypes.
Wow.
The pilot. But I flew it with their instructor pilot. I mean, it's, you know, but, yeah, it was neat.
Yeah. And then from there you retired?
I'm sorry?
Oh, no.
No, I was still in the military. Yeah.
We were stationed. He was stationed. He took his flight training in Selma, Alabama, at Craig Air Force Base, and then he from there he went to Langley Air Force Base as a junior, and then from there he went to Thailand, and from there he came back and we went to Germany and had two moves in Germany, Simbach at Longstuhl, where your mother was born, in Simbach, and then we came back to Otis. And Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and then from there we went to Korea, Republic of Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I was an advisor to the Korean Air Force. And then from
Korea we came back to Little Rock, Arkansas, and then from Little Rock we went to Japan.
And this is all still while he was serving?
Oh, yeah. He spent 29 and a half years in the military.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So almost 30 years. So, and then from Little Rock, we went to Japan, and then came back, and we went to St. Louis, and then we went to Hubbard Air Force Base in Florida, where he retired in 1989. So he started his military career in 1960 and retired in 89.
Mm. Wow. That's a long time.
So, your mother's had a lot of moves.
Yeah.
In her life.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that is all of my questions. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add?
We enjoy service life. It's different today than it was back then. Mostly, we moved around a lot, but mostly they had base housing, and you got to know your friends and your husband's command. And and of course, back in those days, you know, there weren't child care. There wasn't very much child care. And so, you know, women didn't work as much then, so there was more, you know, getting together than there is today with the military.
Mm-hmm.
I think. So, but outside of that, it was a nice life.
Yeah. Well, it sounds very exciting and seems like there was a lot of experiences. Okay, well, that concludes my interview. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sweetie. Love you.
Love you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.